This morning's scripture will be from the book of Romans, chapter 15, and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Be seated, please.
Good morning. Good to see each of you. Glad that you are here with us this morning and able to worship. Our lesson this morning is entitled, Ready to Meet Goliath. And so I certainly appreciate singing Living by Faith, because certainly he exemplified that, David did, in his life. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is our text, and so if you'll go ahead and be turning your Bibles there. We have record probably of one of the greatest battles ever fought between two opposing foes. A battle between two human beings. Its victory was probably one of the most significant battles in the history of mankind. Aside from the interest and maybe adventure of this thrilling event that we'll read about, there's much more. The impact that it had on Israel, upon David and upon others, and even today, us, as we begin to read it and study it, and there's so many practical lessons and truths to be seen within it that are illustrations of truth for us to be able to learn and to grow in our own faith and to meet the challenges and the foes of this day. And so this battle between David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, one of the great accounts that were no doubt, as Paul wrote, written for our learning and admonition, according to Romans 15 and verse 4, where Jake just read. The effect of that particular struggle was tremendous upon several. First, you have the nation of Israel itself. Again, they are victorious over their opposing foe, the Philistines. And they have fought the Philistines on many fronts. This opposing battle array was nothing new to them concerning the Philistines. So they've been here before. But the effect of this particular battle, the second thing we might note is the Philistines themselves were affected and driven to a new defeat before God's people. And so certainly that's going to have a lasting effect on them, especially after this particular battle. The effect upon David, the third thing that we might note, is personally was probably immeasurable because it sent him, if you will, skyrocketing, if you will, before the nation of Israel and to high praise for the name of David. In a short time, he would leap to from a mere shepherd overseeing a few sheep in his father's field to overseeing, if you will, the nation of Israel itself and being king. But to think about David, you know, it's also within a short period of time, he's going to be seen as no longer that little shepherd lad, but he's going to be seen as a great warrior. And the things that are going to be stated of David, even in comparison to King Saul, Saul's killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And so they're going to measure him in that way as well. He would embark upon a career of service and leadership before Israel that would occupy the rest of his life. And also, even thinking about that lineage which was going to come about, bringing about the Messiah through David's lineage, one who would occupy the throne of David yet sometime in the future. And David himself would write about those things, Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4, and numerous other passages, Psalm 16 and others. And so when you begin to think about the effect of the battle itself, you start thinking about all of those involved and how it might have affected them. How would it affect David? David would have issues that he's going to have to deal with the rest of his life. He's going to have to show forth his willingness to be a servant of God and to show forth his faith, if you will, unto God and continue following such a way. God speaks of David in such language as one after his own heart, one after God's own heart. And in that beautiful language, we see the heart of David. We see the man who had the heart to be king, as some have entitled lessons concerning David. But certainly there are things that are going to be surrounding his life that he's going to have to, not just from this day that we're going to read about, but forward, he's going to have to live according to faith in God. Let's begin, first of all, with the background, the scene that's taking place. In 1 Samuel 17, we'll pick up in verse 4 in just a moment, but here's Israel and the Philistines, and they are in battle array on the field. And there's this valley down below where this battle is to take place. These two nations. And again, I said, this is not the first time they've met. But instead of going to full-on war this time, and full-on battle, if you will, Goliath, the Philistine giant, is going to make a challenge on behalf of the Philistines. You send me one man, he and I will fight, and the outcome will determine who will serve the other nation. That's the gist of it. But let's read 1 Samuel 17, beginning of verse 4. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was clad with a coat of mail, that is chain mail. And the weight of his coat, 5,000 shekels of brass. And the greaves of brass upon his legs, and a javelin of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And a shield bearer went out before him. And so he has made a challenge. And we'll pick that up in verse 8 here in just a moment. But just think about Goliath for just a moment. And some estimates have him somewhere around 9 or just maybe a little over 9 feet, maybe 9.5 feet, depending on how you count a cubit and a span, up to maybe over 11 feet, as some have also estimated. Nonetheless, whatever his height was, he is considered a giant. There were giants in the land, and this man from Gath was a giant, and certainly then compared to David, who couldn't even hold up Saul's armor on him. It just swallowed him whole almost. We get this picture that he's a giant against a shepherd lad. And think about this. When you look at all of the coat of mail that he has and the weight of it, the brass around his legs, protecting his legs, the javelin that he has, the spear that he has, the mere weight of it. But this is a trained warrior. In fact, one of the things that's noted when David finally is brought before Saul and asked, he said, You're just a youth. And this man has been a warrior from his youth. And so you can see a battle-hardened giant of a man issuing this challenge, beginning in verse 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out and set in battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. The Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, he says, that we may fight together. This is his challenge. You send out a man. I'm ready to fight. And it'll just be between us. And the winner then will decide who will be subservient to the other. That's the challenge that he makes. Verses 8 through 10. We pick up in verse 24 and we find that fear has permeated throughout the camp. Even to the point of King Saul. I mean, you have to think, they've been here for a while. They've been hearing this challenge. This is not just one time that he gets out there. He keeps coming down and makes this challenge again. And I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man, he says, that we may fight. Challenge after challenge. He was repeating this over and over to them. And all the men of Israel, verse 24 says, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They feared. And that challenge sent that fear running through every man, even to the king. Meanwhile, David shows up on the scene. He has supplies for his brothers who are fighting in the army of Saul, sent by his father to do just that. And while David's there, he's afforded the opportunity to hear this challenge made and this cursing of the God of Israel and the cursing of the armies of Israel. He's able to hear that. And so he makes an inquiry. Well, what's going to be given to the man that goes out and challenges him? And then his brother hears him, Eliab, hears him and rebukes him and says, the only reason you're here is you just want to see the battle. You need to go back and tend the sheep in our father's field. You need to get out of here. It's no place for you. You have no business here. In verse 26, it reads, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach for Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, he says, who should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, this is this and this, so shall it be done unto the man that kills him. So Saul has already given an idea of what he's going to make available. And no man would take the challenge. And then David's brother, hearing that, rebukes him. You need to go on home. So let's talk about the battle. Bible students well know the series of events that followed. This is a lesson that we teach our youngest about David and Goliath. But after some discussion, David's allowed to go out and meet the giant. Saul offers him his armor again, which nearly swallows him whole, and he refuses that. It's not going to work for him. Instead, he picks up 5 smooth stones from the brook, puts one in his sling. And upon approaching Goliath, the giant cursed him and ridiculed him, boasting how he was going to offer up David's flesh to the fowls of the air. David's response is this, verse 45 and 46. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, he says, the Lord, that word Lord there is Jehovah. Jehovah of hosts or Jehovah of armies. God's army, in other words. The God of the armies of Israel. He says, this day Jehovah will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth, he says, may know there's a God in Israel. Of course, the outcome, we know David defeats Goliath with a smooth stone from his sling straight into the giant's forehead, and he falls down and he's beheaded with his own sword by David. Israel then pursues the Philistines, and there's great victory for Israel on that day. God provides for his army on that day, provided for David on that day. But our study's really not simply to recount all the details of the battle itself, but to pick up on some of the lessons that are there for us. You have to understand, here's David who volunteers to go out and fight the giant. Saul says, well, you're just a young boy. What are you really going to do? You can't even wear my armor. What are you going to be able to accomplish? Nonetheless, David talks him into it. And so here's a question for us. What preparation did David have for such an undertaking? Did he have any at all? You know, sometimes being too young is often reason enough not to grant youth to do many things. That's how life is. We see that there's a difference between youth and adulthood. And we understand that their duties and responsibilities of adulthood should not be laid upon the shoulder of children. We understand that, or we should. We talk about those who have grown up way too fast in their lives. You and I have both seen that around us. Maybe it's the case that we did ourselves. And that's certainly not fair to have that thrust upon the shoulder of young people in that way. But here's the question again. Was David without preparation for this battle, for this day? Was he really without experience at all? You see, our ability to meet the foes of life depends on how well prepared we are. Battles are lost and won in the preparation stage. Games played on the court and field are in a real sense determined the outcome in practice and in preparation and in discipline and hard work long before the battle ever takes place. But our text suggests three battles that David fought and won prior to meeting Goliath on the battlefield. Number one, it's the battle of self. The battle of self. David had already won this battle over self before he stepped on that field before Goliath. He had self-control. He had self-confidence. But he was not egotistical. He was not arrogant in some way. He was tempered in his mannerisms. He understood his place, but he was also confident in Jehovah God. He was confident that God could overcome this Philistine giant who was defying the very armies of God and defying God himself. He did not allow the ridicule, the provocation from his older brother, Eliab, to destroy his confidence or to provoke him to anger and wrath. You see, that's what happens a lot of times, even with siblings, right? A statement like that is made. Well, you're just too young. You have no business here. You don't have any place in this. This is not your fight. You need to go on back home. And he could have just snapped like so many times maybe we've done with our siblings, and began to chew them out and to have this. He didn't approach it that way. He was confident, but not arrogant. He had self-control and did not let his ego get the better of him. He didn't lose his composure when the harsh words came slung at him from the giant. Basically, I'm going to wipe you out and I'm going to let the birds feed on you when I'm done. But one who's filled with pride, one who lives a life as a show-off, if you will, one who is all talk with no substance, one who's quick to fly off into anger and rage, would have been a misfit to go out onto that battlefield. They're not ready to face life's challenges. But he was neither intimidated, and nor did he go out for the applause of others. When his brother would have stopped him, he simply reasoned, well, what have I done? Is there not a cause for me or for someone to go out there? See, David's trying to get them to see there is a cause. There's a reason to go out on the battlefield. And so none could deny that there was truly a cause. Someone needed to do something, and David merely recognized that. And he did what he had to do. He persisted then with his inquiries. And then standing before Goliath again, he did not step out on the field unknowing the situation. He didn't throw caution to the wind and say, I'm just going to go out and hope for the best. No, he had a plan. And it wouldn't be with Saul's armor. It would be what he knew, what he'd been trained to do. His hand was steady. His mind was unclouded with vision that was clear to the task at hand. And so he kept a sober and cool mind, controlling his anger, and didn't allow his passion to cloud his judgment. I'm going to ask you to think about today's situation we find ourselves in. Is it not the case that in even these situations that we are in a battle of self? A battle for self? Where we have to use self-control. And we have to use the best information that we have, the truth as best as we can discern it, and make our decisions and continue to march forward. That's what we have to do. That's what we need to do. But not only that. Think about the battle of self for those who are carrying on and rioting and causing a battle, if you will, even for our nation and our country. And while, yes, I am a patriot and I love this country, I am a Christian first and foremost. No matter where I live, no matter where I hang my hat, I'm a child of God. So all of my decisions have to come from a place of being a Christian, from God's Word, a place of faith. That helps me in my preparedness to meet the foe of the day, to meet the challenges, whatever it may be. Number two, there's the battle of fear. David had previously conquered this battle of fear. Let no man's heart fail because of him, said David. Everyone was afraid. There's no doubt David had a healthy respect for a battle-hardened giant standing before him. But he wasn't afraid. There was a reason for his courage. Not indifferent to the power of Goliath, he did not underestimate or minimize his enemy in any way, but he was not frightened by him. He had faced danger. It had prepared him for that day. He had faced possible death before, and it had experienced him and matured him for this very moment that he was about to face. While tending to the sheep, a lion and a bear had attacked his sheep. And unlike a mere hireling that would have just run off because they didn't belong to him, no, these were his sheep. And so he rose to the occasion, recovered the sheep, killing the intruding beasts at what could have been his life. Cowards would likely cut and run because they can't be trusted. David knew that to die while doing the deed that needed to be done is victory, even if apparent defeat were to follow. To preserve oneself and neglect duty, that was worse than death to David. And so he rose to the occasion. He showed forth courage and not fear. His actions are akin to the words of Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever will lose his or shall save his life for shall lose it, he says. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it, save it, have it intact. His courage was not arrogance. but a trait of character that he had developed earlier in his life that made him ready to meet Goliath, the battle of fear. Number three, the battle of unbelief. The battle of unbelief. David had also conquered this battle previously before entering the battlefield. But in chapter 17, verse 37, it says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear," he says, "he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." He realized, look at the expression of his faith in God. He knew that even going and to deal with that lion and that bear on that occasion, that it was God who had saved him. It was God who had been with him. God who had given him the courage to overcome his fear and to enter that field of battle on that day. And he gave credit for any of his former successes to Jehovah. David was relying not on himself, not on his skill with that sling. No. He was relying on his faith in God, in Jehovah, to accomplish the win on that day, the victory on that day. He had relied upon God in times past, and he was doing the same for this victory. Reminds us of what Paul said. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. The reason that he had been able to win the battle over self and over fear was because he had battled for his faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But we also read about those whose faith had been tested. Abraham's faith had been tested. Moses' faith had been tested. You go back and look at Israel's history of conquering the land of Canaan. And when they were victorious, God right there winning the battles for them. But their faith in God had to be present. For when it was not, you see their loss and you see their defeat and you see their demise. You see, Paul also wrote, "If the Lord be for us, who can be against us?" A battle of unbelief. Maybe it's the case that we can see that this historical record has much more than just the details of the battle. And while they're thrilling to read and amazing and for us to comprehend and to see the full battle array and the full picture on that field, you see, the lessons that David had already learned prepared him for that day. And the lessons of faith that we live every day in our lives prepare us for yet the next day. Are we living that faith? Are we living faithful? Because when we are living faithful and we are abiding in that faith and that faith is continuing to grow in us, well, Paul says then our work in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And that he has that assurance that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that I can overcome the battles of this day and the day after and the day after. Until my Lord returns. You see, he's already overcome that which we ourselves could not. Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sins, overcoming death in that way, made it possible that we, through that faith in Christ, that we too can have victory. Victory from sin, from the slavery of sin, from the bondage and the difficulty that it brings, that life of sin is one of ruin, of one that is of such difficulty. We ourselves can't dig ourselves out, but with the faith of God, we can have victory. Because Jesus went to the cross for us. But I have to respond to Him properly. I have to be obedient to what He has asked of me. I have to believe in Jesus Christ, John 8:24. I have to repent of sin. I have to confess my faith in Christ. I have to be baptized to wash away my sins. Not because Wayne said so, but because our Lord said so. That's His plan to save us. But the beautiful thing that we begin to read and understand that in our daily life, we can read a lesson here, a historical account of David and Goliath, and we can realize that daily our lives are going to be tempted, that we are going to be tried, that there is going to be difficult circumstances. Are we not prepared to meet the challenges? If not, then we need to make some changes. We need to get some things right. We need to repent. We need to follow God's plan to save us. But we need to be growing daily in His Word. That which produces faith in our lives. That where I can read about David and I can see the battles that he fought even prior to the Goliath event. But he was ready to meet that day because he had prepared his life up to that point. Walking in faith, the faith of God, and knowing the very power of Jehovah. Peter warned us about the devil's mission. And he says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be watching, be clear-minded, be paying attention to what's going on around you. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking about. He's continuing to walk about, seeking whom he may devour. Does that not sound like that battlefield? David and Goliath? Devil is far more potent foe, if you will, than Goliath was for David. And so we must be prepared to do battle. And we need to learn the lesson that with God, we can. We can overcome. With controlling our lives, having self-control, overcoming that battle of self, overcoming the battle of fear. How so? With courage that is found from reading those whom God dearly loved and blessed because they were following Him. In learning those lessons, I too can then muster up the courage to face the day and to face the difficulties of the day and the foe of the day. And then that battle of unbelief can be a difficult one, but with God all things are possible. And so this morning, I just simply want to encourage us to walk by faith, to live faithfully before God, and in so doing, reap the wonderful rewards and blessings that God has in store for us. You may have a need this morning. We're going to sing a song to encourage you. And if you have that need, you please come up to the front. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you in the ways that we know how. Let's stand together and sing. And so if you have a need, come forward.